Good morning and welcome to the Together radio broadcast of the First Free Will Baptist Church of Farmington. I'm Scott Cheatham. On behalf of our pastor Roger Hogan, music minister Naaman Dement, and the entire church family, I'd like to invite you to stay with us for the next few minutes for today's program.
You know, some of the greatest questions that have ever perplexed the human race do find their answer in the Bible. For example, one question human race has always asked, if a man dies, shall he live again? And of course, the Bible gives us an answer, yes. Yes, he will. He'll be in eternity somewhere. And then there's another question that has been asked, am I my brother's keeper? And the Bible gives us an answer to that. Yes, we are. We are our brother's keeper. I just want to stop and say thank you, Brother Mike Chirac. I wasn't at the hospital 10 minutes, and here come Brother Mike showed up. And I appreciate the prayer that he prayed in behalf of my wife. So we are our brother's keepers. That's what the Bible says. And then there's still another great question. Is there a heaven? And if so, how can I get there? Yes, there is a heaven. And a way to get there is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And so heaven gives us an answer. Heaven is real. Jesus Christ is the door. The Bible says, Jesus said himself, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so, my friend, if you want to go to heaven, it's going to be through Jesus Christ that you're going to get there. And then the Bible tells us simply and precisely what to do to be saved. I'm glad for that, aren't you? So many today have a hope-so relationship, but yet they really never know. And it's my responsibility and your responsibility to tell people how to get there, how to get prepared, what the Bible says in order for you to be saved and know that you're on your way to heaven. The Bible says we have to repent of our sins. We have to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and our Savior. Repent of our sins by faith, invite Christ to come in our heart and our life, and then live for him and serve him with the rest of your life. As simple as ABCs, admit your sinner, believe, and confess and receive Christ. But there's one question that all the philosophers and scientists and doctors in the world cannot answer. There's one question that even the angels in heaven cannot answer. And there's one question that the devil and all of his demons in hell cannot answer. And that question is found in Hebrews chapter 2. If you take your Bible and turn there, that question is found in this chapter. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. The writer says, he asks the question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You see, when God has built a door to heaven and has opened that door for all to go in, and men refuse to walk through that door, there's nothing else that God can do. You are a free moral agent. Our denomination calls themselves Free Will Baptists. That's simply what that implies. You are a free moral agent. God created you that way, and you have the choice. It's your decision where you're going to spend eternity. And so let's read what he says here beginning verse 1. Therefore, that's a reference to what he's already said in chapter 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now, the Bible has 1,189 chapters in it, and three of them tell us where man came from. And then the other 1,186 chapters tell man where he's going, and where a man goes depends on what he does with this so great salvation. It depends on what he does with Jesus Christ. And so the writer of Hebrews, who many think is the Apostle Paul, didn't identify that, but there's some evidence and hints throughout the book of Hebrews that it was probably Paul, the great writer of the and missionary and preacher and pastor. But first of all, he tells us here, there is a man that we should inspect. And so he says here that we must pay a close attention to what has just been finished saying here in chapter 1. By the way, there's 5 warning chapters in the book of Hebrews. There's a warning chapter here in this first 4 verses of chapter 2. There's one found in chapter 3, verse 7 through verse 4, chapter 4, verse 13. There's one found in chapter 5, verse 11 through chapter 6, verse 20. And there's another one, the fourth one's found in chapter 10, verse 26 through verse 29. And then the last one, the fifth warning, is found in chapter 12, verse 14 and 19. And you can look those up and read them yourself. There's warnings there about our so great salvation. Now, sinners can reject salvation. And the Bible tells us here that Christians can neglect their so great salvation. And so the writer here in chapter 1, you know, the Jews, many of the Jews, these were written to Hebrews in reference to Jews who had been converted to Jesus Christ. And because of pressure that many of the Jews were putting on these new Christians, many of them were thinking about or were abandoning their faith in Jesus Christ. And so the writer begins by telling them that Christ is better than the angels. And the reason for that is because not only did he create them, but they worship him. And then he goes on to say that he's better than Moses. The Jews put a lot of stock in Moses. But Christ created him. God created him. And that he's better than the Aaronic priesthood. For the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was once and for all humanity, and for all sin. And I'm glad I live on this side of the cross. Aren't you glad this morning you didn't have to bring a bullock or a, no pun, Chris, that you didn't have to bring a sacrifice? That's Lieutenant Chris Bullock over there. He's one of my best friends, and he's an officer in the Farmington Police Department, along with Brother Ryan back there, and so I appreciate them. But I'm glad this morning I didn't have to bring an animal sacrifice. I'm glad as a pastor you didn't have to bring it to me and say, listen, pastor, it's your responsibility to take care of the sacrifice this morning. I'm glad that dispensation's been set aside. But that dispensation all pointed to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Bible says, who came and took away all sin of all humanity. And so the last sacrifice that ever had to be, had ever had to die was in the person of Jesus Christ. And my friend, that sacrifice conquered death, hell, and the grave, and is alive, and is ascended back to the Father, and is alive forevermore. And God shall not say amen to that. And then he's better than the law, because the Bible says he's the mediator. He's the mediator. He gives a better covenant that we have through him in the person of Jesus Christ. The purpose of the law was to show man that he had missed a mark. We have the Ten Commandments. And there's hundreds of ceremonial laws, like 600 plus ceremonial laws. The purpose of the law, the writer tells us in Galatians, is to show man that he's missed a mark. It's to tell us that we're all sinners, that we can't, you know, goodness, keeping the law, doing the best you can, being the best man, woman, young person that you can possibly be, will not get you to heaven. It's Jesus Christ only. And so the writer says there's a man here that you need to inspect, and his name is Jesus Christ, who gave his life for a ransom for our sins. And so he's mighty, and he's our Savior, and he's alive and well, and he's seated at the right hand of God the Father today. And then secondly, he tells his listeners, those who he's writing to, as well as he tells us, there's a message here that you should not neglect. After you expected who Jesus is, he's the only way to God the Father. He's the only way and the only person that can save us from our sins. Then we have to inspect the message. And what is that message? Well, the message, as you know, is a message of great salvation called the gospel of Jesus Christ. In this message, it says though all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and I'm glad for that word, aren't you? Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that word believe is more than intellectual belief. That's where it has to start. You have to believe that Jesus is. But my friend, you have to do more than that. Somebody said that the difference between heaven and hell is about 18 inches. It's got to go from here to here. And a person has to repent of sins. One of these mornings, I'm going to preach on repentance, what repentance is. Because there's so many people don't understand what repentance really is and what it involves and who enables to have that. And so it's a message of divine proclamation. This gospel message that Jesus saves was preached by none other than Jesus Christ himself. The Bible says that he came to seek and to save them which are lost. Jesus left heaven's glory, was born miraculously of a virgin, lived a sinless life 33 years, went to the cross, died for my sin, your sin, conquered death, conquered hell, is alive forevermore, and he made a way for me and you to be reconciled and made right with God the Father. And you ought to say amen to that. And so it's a message, a divine proclamation, but it's also a message of dynamic confirmation. Some of the great men, the greatest men who ever confirmed the gospel of Jesus Christ by their preaching and by the demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit, Paul being one, the Apostle Peter being another, and many others down the road. But I think of some of the great preachers of yesteryear, Martin Luther, George Whitefield, John Wesley, D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon, Billy Sunday, Billy Graham. Billy Graham, what a tremendous man of God he was. And then the great preachers of our own denomination. Some that impacted my life, who preached the word of God. We're just one group out of many groups, denominations. It's not denominations that get you to heaven, it's Jesus Christ. Not joining this church is going to get you to heaven. It's Jesus Christ. And I had never been in a Free Will Baptist church until I came, when my friend invited me, and I'm not going to that. But it's here I heard the truth. And, somebody said, when our preacher said, they always said the truth never hurts anybody. And he said, that's not true. It'll nail your hide to the tree. My friend had nailed my hide to the tree that night. I realized I was confronted with the reality that my lifestyle, my drunkenness, my ungodliness was sending me to hell. And that I needed to get right with God. I needed to repent. And I couldn't wait to get out of here. Promised myself and a couple of others I'll never go back that place because of the pressure I felt. But I want to tell you something. It wasn't them that put it on. It was the Holy Spirit who put pressure on me. And I'm grateful that he did today. And so there's a message we have to proclaim. You're responsible for that message as well, by the way. You have family members just like I have that's lost. And they need Jesus Christ. And we need to tell them the way, the truth, and the life is through Jesus Christ. And so the preaching of the word of God, when I first was saved and started coming to the church, it's amazing what God does in our heart, you know? Promised myself I'd never go back to church. When I got right with God, I couldn't stay away. Couldn't get enough of it. Couldn't get enough of the preaching. And our church was exploding in growth back in the 70s. I just thought it was everyday norm. People getting saved left and right. Baptismal waters. 1 year baptized over 200 in that baptismal. And God's Spirit was moving. There was a real moving of the Holy Spirit back then. And there was conviction. People were convicted about sin in their life. That's not necessarily the case today. People aren't convicted by sin. And maybe it's our fault as preachers, but there's not the moving of the Spirit like there was a few years ago. We ought to pray for that. I trust that you do. And I'm glad that people are still being saved. Amen. But there's a real moving, not only in this church, but a lot of churches were seeing people saved every week and coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I can't win them all, friend. You can't either. But you can win some. And there's people that you can impact in your life. So those of you who are not saved, you've not rejected Jesus. But some of you have neglected Jesus as well. I want to say the greatest sin a man can commit in this life is to neglect God's plan of salvation or reject God's plan of salvation. If you want to go to hell, then just neglect and reject the salvation that he's talking about. A man doesn't have to burn his business in order to destroy it. All he has to do is neglect it. A farmer doesn't have to plant weeds in a garden in order to lose it. All he's got to do is neglect it. If you want to starve to death, all you have to do is neglect eating. And if you want to dehydrate, just neglect your water intake, and that's what will happen to you. If you don't want to go to heaven, then all you have to do is neglect God and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God's plan of salvation for you. But here's a third thing quickly. There is a meeting that we cannot reject. If you turn a deaf ear to the message of salvation and an indifferent heart to the man called Jesus, mark it down, you're headed for a meeting with Almighty God. And there's three things I want you to notice about that meeting. And that's the judge of the meeting. Almighty God himself will be your judge if you neglect the great salvation that he's offered through Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:31, here's a warning, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. You mean God's a God of love? Yes, he is. You mean God can be angry? Absolutely. God is angry because of what sin has done to humanity and all the crime that we read about every day and all the murder and going on that we see in these perilous times, these last days. What a tragedy is. Every day, because of sin. So God's judgment, my friend, is always according to justice. God's a just God. And because he's a just God, he has to judge sin. You see, he can deal with a man according to justice. God can deal with a man according to his mercy. Or God can deal with man according to grace. But mercy is what God is when God does not give a man what he deserves. And justice is what God gives a man exactly what he deserves. And grace is when God gives a man what he does not deserve. Aren't you glad for mercy? And aren't you glad for grace in your life? I don't want God to deal with me according to justice. I want him to deal with me according to mercy and grace. And that's the way I want him to deal with you. But then notice the judgment at that meeting. The Bible says every sin receives a just recompense. That is, every sin is going to be punished. God never has. And God will never allow sin to go unpunished. I'm glad for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, aren't you? I'm glad that God's blood covered my sins, my past sins. They're under the blood of Jesus Christ. And of course, I'm accountable for my life now and when I sin. You see, two things are certain, and they're not death and taxes. It's death and judgment. You can mark it down. The Bible says it's appointed unto men. A man wants to die, and after that comes the judgment. And so, my friend, unless the Lord comes and split the cloud in glory and rapture his church out, you're going to die, and I'm going to die, and the judgment we'll all stand in. You and I will stand in the believer's judgment if you're a child of God. But if you're unsaved, you're going to stand in the great white throne judgment of the wicked dead. And hell is a place, like I preached a couple, 3 weeks ago, there's no place like that that we can fathom, even comprehend, can't even comprehend what hell's going to be about. But it's real. And I've said this so many times. It wasn't the preaching about heaven that got my attention. It's when the preacher began to preach about hell. That's what got my attention. Because I didn't want to die lost and go to hell. And that's where I was headed. I knew that's where my lifestyle was taking me. And I finally got sick of sin. But here's the real thing. I got sick of me. That's what you need to do. You need to get sick of your sin. But you also need to be sick of where you're living. And realize you need Christ. And he's the difference. And so the miracle of miracles is regeneration and salvation. And he can transform your life. And he can change you and change your desire, not only your destiny, but change your desires for living for the Lord. And aren't you glad for that? Because of the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. Well, don't reject this great salvation. And my friend, don't neglect it. It's easy to neglect our salvation. Spiritual deterioration begins when Christians start to neglect their salvation. If you're a Christian, spiritual deterioration begins when you neglect your so great salvation. Just get casual about it. Just lose that fire you probably had when you first got saved. Just get a little bit lax. Get a little careless, justifying your own mind, your commitment, your service, what you're doing for God. And the Satan will let you do that. Get real comfortable where we're at. Begin to hit and miss and skip and slip away. Suddenly, you find yourself neglecting your so great salvation. And my friend, when we do, we sin against the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit. We can suppress the Holy Spirit. I'm bringing messages about the Holy Spirit. But we can do that because we're free moral agents. I can't tell you how much of God you have. Only you can do that. But you have as much of Him as you want. Don't neglect. Don't reject, don't neglect a so great salvation. Let's stand. Father, we love you. We pray that we'll take this message to heart because it's from your word.
Thank you for tuning in this morning to the Together radio broadcast of the First Free Will Baptist Church of Farmington. Our worship service this morning is at 10 o'clock. We also have evening worship tonight at 6 and Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. If you have more questions about our church, give us a call at 573-756-8933. On behalf of Reverend Hogan and the church family, have a blessed Sunday morning.